this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Sure, I don't know how to preach a sermon after all of that though. But is everybody all right? Is it a little bit hot in here? Anybody, or is it just me? Hot. Can someone try and if it works. If it doesn't work, it's fine. Thanks. Has anybody got chairs? I only saw this message now that there's extra chairs available, and you can just move in a little bit. But I think everybody looks pretty much sorted now. There's a whole front row here that is available as well. If it gets a little bit hard there. For those that we haven't seen yet, welcome back. And then there's a whole lot of new faces here, which if we have an opportunity afterwards, just to have a chat quickly. When are you guys going back? Hey? Yeah. Wednesday. It's from the Stellenbosch. So there's a whole lot of different spheres here. See, there's a couple coming from Pretoria. And if you're not in a small group anywhere where you just want to connect, come chat to us at the info table or come chat to me. We've got small groups all across the city. And thanks, Maria. And we'd love to slot you in. Now, just quickly, I just want to, before I just get going on the sermon, Jolene, are you in here? Jolene? We were talking about these calendars, and I wanted to give a couple away, and I try to figure out who am I going to give it away to. And Jolene's birthday was yesterday, right? So you can come and have one. I'll explain now how these calendars. Who else's birthday was this last week? Was this coming week? Bring your ID with. Gerd, yours was last week Sunday, so you can come up. But you're going to be in George, man. Hey, Gerd, come. Jolene, come. Alex. When was yours? 8th. Come, Alex. Well, I've got 3 here. I need to give 3 away. So I won't give you the pink one. Blue or pink. Okay. Now, just how those calendars work. There's magnets on the one side, and then it flips up. And then there's a little pennykie, like a vasgoed pennykie, that's also got a magnetic strip on. So you just put it on your fridge and it flips up. It's got all the dates, or most of the dates on, about events and foundations and relationship week and missions windows, etc., etc. Specifically Joburg events. So it's like Christine said beforehand, it's 30 rand one, but for us, it's not about it. We don't want to make a profit on this stuff. We just want to cover our costs, and as soon as we cover the costs, we will give the rest away. So if you want to buy two, you can buy 2 for $50, or you can buy the journal and the calendar for $80. Play with it. Also, facilitators, if there's some of your members that aren't here tonight, and you want to grab a pack of 10 or something, then just coordinate it with Philip at the info table. You want to take 10 and then just do some sort of a mini stock take when you bring it back, or the cash back, or whatever. Okay, so the heart behind it is we want everybody that's in Shofar Johannesburg to have at least one calendar, so that you know what's going on, so that there's no excuses of, I didn't receive this email, or I didn't know this, or anything like that. Okay, so that's just a quick promo. And thanks to Liana for like designing that. Liana, not here. No, she's not here. But when you see her, Liana Strauss, if she's here, when you see her, then just give her a big high five. She did a lot of effort, and she did a very, very good job. I reviewed it. So if you pick up an error, which I know there is, then you can blame me. All right. But that's only one minor error, and you should. Some of you might not even notice it. Okay. Then students, if there's anybody that's got a heart for the students, student ministry, etc., then please just stay behind after the service, and I just want to have a quick chat with you guys. UJ's orientation week is this coming week and the week after. And then Wits's orientation week is the week after that. And we just want to just touch base on what we're going to do. We're going to hand out some flyers. We're just going to just actually promote Bible school, etc. So if you have a heart for that, please stay behind afterwards. Sure, there's a lot of things that I'm talking about here before we even get to the sermon. Missions, I'm going to send out an email in the week about missions. If there's two windows. It's the windows is in the calendar. So buy a calendar and check where the windows are. It's somewhere end of April is the one. It's normally for the more young working. There's a couple of public holidays and we try and use them. So almost 10, 11, 12 days that we use that. We might be going to Rwanda again like we did last year. Also, if there's enough interest, we might consider going to Ghana at some stage. Donnie was in Ghana the whole of December working in the hospitals, etc. So we might, and then there's a student slot as well, about a window in June, July. Now, depending on your leave, if you're working, then you'll be able to, that one might actually be 2 weeks. So if you've got enough leave, then, I'm going to send out an email. Please respond to that if you're interested. Even if you're just remotely interested and you're just entertaining the thought. Okay, if your baby is due in April, then I would advise you not to go in April, maybe June. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Then this coming week is the prayer and fast weekend. That's not only for Johannesburg. It's all of our Shofar congregations. We're doing it like a prayer and fast weekend where we're just going to seek the Lord. We're going to just consecrate ourselves unto God. And so I want to encourage you to also just get those details if you missed it during the announcements. But Thursday evening, there's the leaders. Friday evening, everybody, the worship team, and etc. And then the Saturday evening as well. The fast is going to be from Thursday evening to Saturday evening. Anyway, just get the details. If you didn't get the email during the week, talk to your facilitator and he'll forward you the email. Okay, now we can get going. Last week when Heinrich was preaching, by the way, if you're here for the first time, I'm not the pastor. I work for Hollard Insurance. I do not take your insurance. I'm in the mergers and acquisitions division and we buy brokers and etc. So don't come and shoot me to ask why is your premium so high. I do not know. Yeah, I just buy other businesses or help. So anyway, when Heinrich, who's pastor here, preached last week, God just came and dropped some, just like two words in my heart, and it's actually the song that we sang tonight as well, about one voice. Now I left it there, and during the week when I prayed about what God wanted me to share, that kept coming back up, and I wanted to ask the worship team actually if we could sing that song again, the one about, it's not called One Voice, but you know which one I'm talking about, because we sang it last week as well, and I never got around to doing that. And when I got the set list, then it was already on there. So I was like, okay. I think I might have heard him right there. So it's literally going to revolve around this one scripture. I'm not going to share just one scripture, but it revolves around this. Romans 15, verse 5 to 7. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And tonight's sermon is going to be a little bit like a hamburger. And what I mean by that is that the first thought that I just want to bring with you is the same as the last thought. And then in the middle, there's two very integral parts. And the first is just about unity. And then that's, if you go one slide back, it talks about there, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity. One slide back? Two back? Yeah, well, there we go. Give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. And What does unity mean? Does it mean that we say the same things, we look the same, we do everything the same? No, it does obviously not. And what it is about, it's about more of an essence behind it, is that in purpose and in what we are aiming for, that is what we are in unity. Now, you don't have to follow Jesus to be in unity with someone. You agree? It's about having the same goal, the same purpose in mind, and we're pulling all of our resources, putting all our strengths, everything that we are, we're going to do this thing. Now, for example, South African cricket team that, by God's grace, lost against New Zealand yesterday. I do not know how they did that. But anyway, for example, they come together, those 11 plus the coach, plus the 12th man, and whoever, and they have a united purpose and goal in mind, and that is to win this one day international, or this test, or whatever, to win this game. Now, how that flows down to every team member is slightly different. If you're an all-rounder, then you're going to bat and bowl. If you're a wicket-keeper, you're going to keep wicket and you're going to bat a little bit. If you're the opening bowler, then you're going to bowl. So they are in unity because of the goal that they are towards, what they're working towards. Not necessarily about the functions that they're performing. Same as like an orchestra. There's a lot of different people playing a whole lot of different instruments, but they are all working together to form this harmonious symphony of something. Now, if all of them are not in unity, then that whole band is going to look, that whole orchestra is going to look pretty stupid, because here goes this violin. Have you ever heard a violin that doesn't? Yeah, it just sits wrong, and that makes the whole orchestra not look quite that big. Everybody else might have been in perfect pitch, but the guy on the violin, if he goes off, then you're like, whoa, what just happened? And you don't have to be good at music to hear something like that. Now, for me, I'm not very good at music, so if the guy on the bass or something somewhere along the, I don't know all the instruments, but if a small instrument goes wrong, I won't pick it up. My wife will pick it up immediately. Before we started going, or just as we started going out, now she's a little bit more into classical music because she played piano, etc. And I had none of that background. I had more the jock background of sports, etc., etc. And then I come and I go with her and her dad and her mom to this thing in the Endler. It was in the Endler, right? And I sit there and it's like great and it's awesome and I feel completely out of my depth. And I walk out there and I'm like, that was great. And then my dad and my mom and Christine starts talking about this or noticing stuff, some stuff that was off. I'm like, okay, I don't have a clue. Anyway, that's got absolutely nothing to do with anything. But my point is that there's a common goal and you're working to a common purpose. And that's what unity is about. If you're not in unity, there's disunity or there's vision. If you're following more than two visions, then there's division. It's quite simple. Now, in terms of bringing it back to following Jesus and for us as a congregation, there's this overarching purpose as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that there's this overarching purpose and goal of letting God's kingdom come. Whether in this church or another church, that should be the goal, is to let God's kingdom come. The Onze Vader, the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And then a couple of other things as well. It's not that I don't know the others, it's just not relevant to the message, man. I'm stopping there. Okay. My point is that as a disciple of Jesus, that should be an overarching purpose that we should have. Now, we don't always have it. We lose sight of that purpose of it is about His kingdom and His kingdom coming. And now, yes, it comes in all different forms and etc. And we play different roles in that. Now, drilling it a little bit down to us is where we fit in the picture as Shofar. And more Shofar as a whole, our purpose statement. You that just laughed at me, not you, Steph. What is our purpose statement? Okay. To reach nations and generations through disciple making, church planting, and leadership development. So everything that we do as a movement or as a church, that is if it doesn't fall in that, if that is not what we're working towards, what are we busy doing? Then it does not work towards the goal. Yes, and that purpose falls within the letting God's kingdom come. Now, for us as Shofar Johannesburg, it zooms in a little bit more on our sphere of influence being Johannesburg, obviously. So then I can drill it down a little bit further to family. And God has been good to Christine and I this lately as well in terms of just bringing us together in terms of unity. The picture that God also just shared with us also is that although we've been married and we are like-minded and we live for God's kingdom, there's a lot of things that we weren't in unity in terms of we weren't actually partnering together. I was putting a scripture talks about one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. There's that synergy thing. Now, what has happened is I've been putting 1,000 to flight. She's been putting 1,000 to flight. When we come together, it used to be 2,000 or maybe even 1,000 or even less, just because we weren't understanding each other in terms of how do we operate in our marriage in terms of the purpose that we, and how do I see her, how does she see me, etc. So that is obviously also important then to communicate what is God calling us for, what is God calling me for, what is God calling her for, and it's important for me as the head of the house to also communicate that to her and how I see her. She might have heard it already from the Lord, but she needs to hear it from me as well. Is to know, okay, where is this boat going? If you don't communicate that, then it doesn't always go according to plan. And if you don't communicate it, then that wasn't in the plan in the beginning. What I'm saying here is that if we as a congregation operate in synergy, that should have the 10,000 synopsis in mind. I don't know if synopsis is the right word for that, but anyways, it sounded good. Okay. All right, that is just shortly on unity. And that scripture obviously was talking about unity there. It's where he said, may God who gives you endurance and give you a spirit of unity among yourselves. And then the second one, he says there, as you follow Christ Jesus. And obviously, like I said, we can have unity outside of church, outside of relationship with Jesus. But the unity that we're talking about here is integral to actually following Christ Jesus. And when we're going to be maybe from autumn, March, April, we're gonna be doing a little bit of a series on discipleship. And then some of you like think, discipleship again. Yes, discipleship again, because that is what God has called us to be. Is to be disciples of Jesus and to make disciples. If we are not making disciples, then we are probably not disciples. Okay, because disciples make disciples. Okay, not disciples necessarily of themselves, but disciples of Jesus. Okay. Now, when Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, and this is a lot of the times a misperception that we have, but when you pan it out a little bit like this, then it's actually quite interesting, is when Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, he didn't mean just come and associate with me. He didn't say, I want you to come follow me sometimes. I'm going to lay down my life on the cross for you so that you can sometimes say that you're a Christian or you can say whatever. What he was saying there is, follow me, become like me, imitate me, lay down everything for me. And that is what the disciples understood when he said that. Because in the Jewish culture, that was what was understood if somebody said, follow me. Like a rabbi saying to one of his disciples, follow me, imitate me, become like me. That is what the disciples understood is, okay, I'm actually going to lay. That's why they walked away from everything. That's why also further down the line, when they walked with Jesus, Jesus turned around to them after the crowd walked away. He said, are you not also going to leave? And they said, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. And all right. So Jesus is not saying that you must just mildly associate with me. And there's sometimes that culture, especially when you, like in, I'm sure you came across a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but the fruit of their lives does not reflect that. And that's typically what I'm talking about, is that we're not just going to say, I'm a Christian, but then my life doesn't reflect that. One very important lesson that I've learned with having a relationship or being married, let me put it that way, is you cannot just tell your wife that you love her. Okay, you cannot just tell her that. Okay, you need to show her that. Okay, and then you need to show her that in a way that she receives it. Okay, my love language is more like affectionate touch, etc., and sometimes also saying it, verbalizing it. For her, it's deeds. It took me a good couple of years to perfect that one. Okay, it's quite hard. I'm like, just if you want to tell me you love me, just tell me how great I am and give me a back rub. Where for her, if I wanna show her that I love her, yes, those things are great. Don't leave those things out. But making sure that maybe when she made dinner that the dishes is washed is going to communicate to her that I love her. Because otherwise it communicates that I expect it of her to wash the dishes. So that's just what I'm saying is that we need to not only give God lip service, we need to show God that we love him and that we follow him. Okay. Right, so what does all of that mean to us? When Jesus is asking Peter, who do the crowd say I am? And then they say, well, they say you're a good teacher or you're a prophet, etc., etc. And then he told Peter, okay, so who do you say I am? And then Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then a little bit just after that, then Jesus responds, and then a couple of verses later in Luke 9, verse 23, he tells him, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And obviously that has a couple of implications to different things in our lives. Taking up your cross might mean slightly different things. If you're in Pakistan, taking up your cross is going to mean slightly something different when you have to walk into a board meeting tomorrow here in Holod. So taking up your cross is going to mean different things, but what it does mean, it means you lay down your own life and you choose to follow him and say, follow what he is saying you need to do. If that means God is laying on your heart to go and preach the gospel in Alexandria, then that is what you do. If God is saying that you need to prepare for a sermon for tomorrow, then that is what you do. It's stuff like that. If just be obedient to what God is saying. Okay, so in order to follow him, okay, you need to know what he is saying. Agreed? How do you know what he is saying? Okay, read the Bible. God didn't give us the Bible to make a whole lot of suggestions to make our life better. He gave it in order for us to live by it and to imitate him. All right, so that is the one thing. The other thing is, especially when we just come to salvation, we're relatively clueless, and that is fine. Because, I mean, where do you start? And that is why it's also important to come to church, come to small group, because other people also hear God's voice. And not only that, other disciples become more like Jesus and you start seeing Jesus in other people's lives. And yes, you start seeing also not Jesus in people's lives, but then you also learn to have grace for those people in those situations. And that's the way that you grow. You cannot really follow Jesus in isolation because Jesus was never isolated. So if you love isolation, then you're going to have to get over yourself because if you want to become like Jesus, then you're going to have to get used to being around people. And I don't say that disrespectfully. I'm just saying that some people are not people persons, and that is fine. But in order for you to grow, you're going to have to find yourself amongst other people. All right, I'm going to have to hurry up because I started late. I'm not blaming anything. That was great. Okay. Acts 4 verse 13 says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus." And this is now after Jesus ascended into heaven and they were full of the Holy Spirit and they started testifying. The guys persecuted them and they were all before all these religious leaders, all these schooled, learned men. And just that note there where they say, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. If you go for a month without actually spending time with God, it starts to show. If you spend time daily with Jesus, that starts to show because you become like those that you spend time with. Right. Yeah, and then just the last thought before I step off that point is that everything that we do, and I want to encourage you to make that a lifestyle, that everything you do, do it out of a place of faith and out of obedience. There's a just actually before that main scripture in Romans 14 verse 23, there's a little bit of context involved there, so you can go and read it. But the last sentence is, "Everything that does not come from faith is sin." He's talking about eating certain things and keeping certain traditions, etc., etc. And it's like saying, but just whatever you do, do it out of a place of faith. Otherwise, if you don't do it out of a place of faith, it's sin. Now, that applies to anything that we actually put our hands to. If after church, I feel obliged to pick up the speaker and to go and put it in the storeroom because I feel I have to, and not necessarily convinced because God wants me to be here and do it out of the place of that faith, then it's actually sin. And I don't go and overanalyze it and that sort of thing. That's not the point. Also, that if you want to marry someone and you're not 100% sure whether this is now my wife or this is my husband or whatever, the fact of the matter is, if you're going to enter into that marriage uncertain or not doing it in faith, then you're actually sinning. Because then you're not doing it in faith. Even if you're not 100% sure, say, okay, God, I believe this is what you're choosing for me. Therefore, I'm stepping out in faith, and therefore God's going to bless that. Okay, so faith does something in our hearts in terms of that. You all understand what I'm getting at? Okay, hands up if you don't understand. Okay, no one. All right. Okay, then the next one there, accept one another. You'll see there, and that's it's actually a little bit further down in that scripture where he says, "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God." And the accepting one another, loving one another, I'm not going to go into all of those scriptures. You can go and read it in yourself. It's John 13, verse 34 to 35, and then 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 11. He basically just says that a new command I give you, love one another, etc., etc. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another. Accept one another, love one another, so that God will receive the praise and glory. If you go to that previous scripture in Romans, we'll get back to it just now. And then, basically, what I was talking about, that those two things are sandwiched, about following Jesus and loving and accepting one another, is an integral part of us coming into unity. You cannot come into unity if we do not follow Jesus. Okay, we can, but the unity that we talk about there is something quite different. But if we want to follow God in unity, we need to follow Jesus first, and then we need to accept and love one another. If you have a grievance towards the guy sitting on the other side of the room, I suggest that you sort it out, because it is going to hinder you operating in unity. Now, it's going to be fine if you're in the worship team and that person does the toddler church, because you're not necessarily going to mix that much. But in the bigger context of things, if we want to put 10,000 to flight, you're going to have to sort your stuff out. And if you're a visitor here, that doesn't necessarily apply that much to you, because you haven't necessarily bought into that vision and that purpose yet, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as the overarching thing about let God's kingdom come is there, then there's always going to be room of us partnering, even if you're in another congregation, etc. If you want to become a member here or in the small groups here, then you're going to have to buy into that. Otherwise, sorry for the word, then you're going to be dead weight. Then if we want to go somewhere, then we're going to have to leave you behind because you do not follow the same direction that we do in terms of the goal. Then you might be the violin that plays a different note, and you're going to stand out slightly. And I don't knock that, because we always make room for new people, and that's where accepting one another, loving one another comes in, where we need to have grace for one another. Actually, the preceding scripture of that Romans 15 scripture just talks about bear with those who are, I'm paraphrasing now, but basically bear with those who are weaker. And there's room for that, and there's grace for that. And we want to disciple, and we want to raise up, and that sort of thing. But in terms of where we're going, we need to really understand, but you need to know this is where we're going. Do you see yourself going there? Now, you might see yourself going there for a year or 2 years, and that's fine. But as long as that you are here, that is where we are going. That is what we're going to put our effort into. Now, there's different means of how we do that. Yes, there's Sunday services, there's Bible school, there's spiritual growth series, there's outreaches, etc. And you need to figure out in that 1 Peter 4 scripture talks about using your gifts in serving one another or serving. And so there's a place for that. So I'm not saying everybody should join the band. Everybody should, mind you, everybody could go for the toddlers, because there's a big need there. And if you don't have a heart for the toddlers, the quickest that you get a heart for the toddlers is if you just spend some time with them. Christine and I are available for a proof run if you want to come babysit at some stage. And Albert as well. No, I'm just kidding. I need to trust you first before I leave my kid with you. All right. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. Last thought is just about one voice. In that same scripture of Romans 15, in the ESV translation, it talks about that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The other translation talks about with one heart and with one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One voice, or one heart and one mouth. And that talks about just let's bring glory to God in whatever we do, with one voice, one purpose, one goal in mind. I just want to, and just with regards to this coming weekend's prayer and fast, yeah, there's just this short story that I want to just share with you out of Joshua, and it's very relevant to the prayer and fast weekend, this coming weekend, in terms of consecration. Now, just a little bit of background in terms of Joshua. Israel comes out of Egypt, comes to the Red Sea, wander around the desert, they sin, they wander around the desert some more for some odd 40 years, and the whole generation dies out, and the next generation gets raised up. And now Joshua, he was there from the start, I think him and Caleb, I think it was just the two of them. They're the only guys of that generation that's actually going to see the promised land. Now Joshua gets this order that he needs to lead the Israelites into the promised land. Now they come to the Jordan, and Joshua sends spies to Jericho. And for some odd reason, they stay at a prostitute's house, for whichever reason, I do not know. But she kept them safe, and she helped them out. Interesting to note, this is just tickling your brain a little bit. She stayed in a house that was against the wall, and she let them down off the wall. Now, Jericho's walls collapsed when they went into Jericho. Yet, they came out unscathed, and they had to be in their house. So, obviously, the whole wall came down, and their house must have maybe just stood there or something. I don't know. That's just something that tickled my mind a little bit when I read it. Anyway, so then the spies eventually come back. And then they cross over to over the Jordan. Well, through the Jordan, God dries up or keeps the water one side, and the river is actually in flood. Have you ever thought about the guy downstream, maybe washing in the river, or wet, or making his lands wet, and here's no water anymore in flood season? Imagine his reaction. The guys on that side, it must have dammed up quite a lot that way. Anyway, so all the Israelites walk through the Jordan, and then they come to this place called Gilgal. Now, Friday we had a big laugh. That's why Steph was laughing. We had we played sunrise golf on Friday morning, and at Park View, there's this hole that you come to, and then you need to walk over a road, and then you play four holes there, par four, par five, par five, and then par three. And the first three holes, my golf was terrible. It was raining. It's miserable. Got up at 5:30. I don't know what. We teed off at 5:30. Well, I was a bit late. So my golf is terrible, and now it rains. And then we're faced with this option of, are we going to turn back because I forgot my umbrella in the car? Or are we going to play on? I was like, no, I can't leave my game like this. So we crossed the road, and we're like, this is like Gilgal, crossing over. My game is going to change. And it did change. For the four holes on that side, when we came back, it turned back again. Anyways, so here they come to Gilgal. Gilgal, het ons het genoem. And then the Lord says to Joshua, circumcise all the males. And that is, the whole act of circumcision was an act of consecration. Now, this is before they're going to attack Jericho and etc. So all the Israelites, or all the men, obviously, they got circumcised, and they called that place where they got circumcised Gibeath Haraloth, which means hill of foreskins, by the way. I just thought, it's in the Bible. Eh? Anyway, so now they're there, and then just after that, the Lord appears to them, and this is where we pick up the story. Joshua 5, from verse 13 to 14. Give me 5 minutes, and we should be done. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him, and with a drawn sword in his hand, Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? And you can go read the story, and then after that, like, the Lord just gives him this is what you need to do to attack Jericho. This is what you have to do. Now, first the Lord said, consecrate yourself. And then they did that. And then the Lord appeared to them in this way, giving them further instruction, saying, this is how I want you to conquer Jericho. So, first of all, coming into a place of consecration, they needed to be in unity. Joshua couldn't come to the guys and say, okay, guys, we're going to circumcise, and then there's a couple of guys that say, no. They would quickly send them back to the other side of the Jordan or kill them. They had to be in unity. So they were in unity when they consecrated themselves. Then the Lord came and spoke to them and gave them direction, how and what and where and when. And then after the Lord told them what he wanted to tell them, they needed to go and perform that also out of a place of unity. Marching around Jericho in complete silence for 7 days, and then on the seventh day, seven times, and then blow the horn simultaneously, you needed to be in unity. And then what after that happens, after they conquer Jericho, then they sit there, and now one of the guys, he took some items out of one of the temples, and he kept it for himself, and they wanted to go and conquer Ai. And you can imagine how something would turn out if you try to conquer Ai. It just has to end up as an Ai. All right. And it was supposedly an easy one. They only sent, I think, 3,000 guys. And these guys rooted them. And then they're like, ah, God, why have you done this to me? And then God says, no, there is sin in the camp. And then they pull lots. And eventually they come to this guy's family and say, what have you done? And they needed to kill him. So what I'm saying is that even after we've completed or we've done what God has told us to do, even after that, you need to remain focused. And you can't go and play around with the spoils of God. Yeah. Okay, so just to wrap it up. Yeah. In Ephesians 4, verse 2 to 3, it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Let us stand. Let us stand. Sorry. what I believe that God is wanting us to do this coming weekend is to just consecrate ourselves. It doesn't have to be heavy spiritual. It doesn't have to be a big hoo-ha, but it's a place of coming and just consecrating ourselves. I bet you the Israelites did not feel very spiritual when they had to circumcise themselves. It's an act of consecration. Now, if you feel led to do a complete water fast for the 3 days, then please join us in doing that. Christine and I are going away on Wednesday to the Cape for our holiday. Yes, we did not have a holiday yet. We are going away now. We cannot be there. However, we're praying and we're asking God, what do we need to put aside? What do we need to fast off just to align our hearts, just to consecrate ourselves with you? Obviously, if you're pregnant, you cannot do a full water fast. I do not advise that. Husbands, you can. You don't have to. Go according to the conviction in your heart. All I'm saying is that God is calling us to a place of consecration this weekend. And God wants to come and talk to us and come and give us direction to the things that are lying ahead. And then even after that, we need to just remain cognizant of the fact that we need to remain in unity. Okay. So therefore, let's fight. Let's make every effort to keep the unity of the faith. Let us follow Jesus with all of our hearts. Let us love one another. And let's lift up God's name with one voice. And let his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, I'm just going to pray for us. And, Father, thank you, Lord, that we can be sons and daughters in your house, God. Lord, we can be sons and daughters and partaking just of what you're busy doing and that you've chosen us to be a part of that. And we give you all the glory and all the honor for that, Lord. Lord, it is a desire of our hearts, Lord, to come into unity, Lord. We are, all of us are people that are under construction, God. And sometimes, vryf ons mekaar verkeerd op. Sometimes we do not see eye to eye. But Lord, your grace is bigger. And you come and enable us to love one another deeply from the heart. For that is your will. And we do not have to try and do that of our own, God. And we thank you for that, Lord. And tonight again, we just submit ourselves unto you and say, Lord, come and finish what you've started. Lord, this coming weekend, we want to consecrate ourselves unto you. To hear from you, God. And just to say, here we are, use us. Come and lead us in the way that we should go. In Jesus' name, Lord. And if there's anybody here that does not know Jesus, I want everybody just to keep your eyes closed. If there's anybody here that does not know Jesus, I want to give an opportunity for you just to respond to that. If I do not, then we're missing the whole point. So if there's anybody here and you do not know Jesus and you want to know more, I just want to just give a brief opportunity just for you to put up your hand. Don't linger. If you know that is you, put your hand up and we're just going to pray together. I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm going to let you pray from there. Okay. If you're visiting here or if you're visiting from the Cape or another Shofar congregation or from another church or you're new to Joburg, born. we'd really love to just have a quick chat. And if you want to join a small group, if you're new to Johannesburg, chat to us. If you want to know more before you make a decision in terms of this is where you want to stick, the Spiritual Growth Series is the place where you can find out quite a bit more. Perspective gives a foundation of what we believe in terms of salvation, baptism, Holy Spirit. And then community, the second one, gives you more of an insight about our core values and what we stand for. So please join us for that, and you are free to go. And then we're gonna worship just that one voice song again. However, if you have to go, if you have a little one, or you have chicken in the oven, etc., then you're welcome to go. Or you want to desperately in need of a cup of coffee or the bathroom, you're welcome to go. We'd love to have a chat with you afterwards. Amen. Have a good week. Sorry, if you have any other prayer needs and stuff, you're welcome to come and chat to pray. If you're a lady and you want to pray with one of the ladies, Christine, I don't know, he might have to go, but then just come forward and there'll be a lady to pray with you.